The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to William Hill's Racing Podcast. My name is Alex Dunn and I've been joined by Craig Forsyth to look ahead to the best of Saturday's action. We're going to look at one race at Haydock and two at Ascot. How's things, Craig?
Yeah, good, thanks, Alex. Be featuring on the Mudlarks, I think, at those two meetings tomorrow.
Yeah.
Because I think we're due another storm this evening, which I think we'll see conditions riding soft, heavy in places, I'm sure. At both those tracks, but nonetheless, it's some real exciting jumps action as we wind down for the Christmas break and lead into the busy Boxing Day schedule.
Yeah, two really good cards actually on Saturday. Competitive action to look forward to. The Long Walk Hurdle is the feature at Ascot. That should be a very good race. But we're going to start at Haydock. We'll kick off with the 2:05. It's the Tommy Whittle Handicap Chase, a Class 2 event over 3 miles. Really competitive affair to kick things off here, Craig. Where should we start?
Yeah, I think we'll start by looking at a trend of the previous winners, Alex. The last 6 winners have all been aged either 7 or 8. So, you know, we'll want to be looking at a horse that probably around about a second, third season chasing type that isn't too exposed. Looking at the previous winners of this race, and you know, you just need to look at Cannington Brook, who won this in 2011 and 12, who himself was a real mudlark. So I think that's where we should be featuring tomorrow, is looking at horses that will relish the heavy conditions that is likely to be in place at Haydock. And I think the first horse we'll start with is a horse trained by Evan Williams, a 7-year-old called Triptico. He absolutely loves the mud, this lad, but he's been held back with his jumping in the past. He hasn't progressed as well as I'm sure connections would have thought, simply because he just has a habit of making the odd mistake at his fences. But when conditions are testing like this, this is when he's seen at his best. He's yet to win at the trip, but I don't really see a major problem with that tomorrow. He's won over 2.5. He's ran reasonably well over trips further than that, but this is the first time, you know, his stamina is really going to be tested, and like I said, I don't see it being too much of a problem. It's his jumping. If his jumping holds up tomorrow, I think he'll have a major chance with the ground conditions very much in his favour.
Well, the way that Evan Williams horses tend to run as well with Paul Maloney, they are held up out the back. He'll have every chance of staying the trip, and it's a horse actually I actually backed at Wetherby a couple of starts back, and he ran with credit, in fairness. Never quite getting there, but that was a competitive race, even if it wasn't sort of the ultimate win it for Brian Ellison at 25-1. So not the most glaringly obvious form line to go through, but certainly a competitive enough affair, and if reproducing that, I think he'd have a chance here.
Yeah, very much. You know, as you said, he was staying on with promise without really looking like he was ever going to get there.
Yeah.
I think, you know, that was a really good description of how he ran that day. And I think that was probably due to the fact that he probably found the ground just a little bit too quick, and there were speedier types in the race for him. And he just couldn't go with them. His jumping wasn't bad that day, in fact. And, you know, with these conditions now, he's got to really be of major interest. This is the first time he's raced on heavy ground this season. He's only had the 2 spins. It wasn't a bad effort again last time at Chepstow, but on good to soft ground, he was always going to find a few too quick for him. So he's one that would be of major interest. And another one coming back from a good run in the Hennessy. I thought his finishing position of 14th, he was much better than that, was Lochbar. He was held up out the back, he jumped for fun. You know, he threatened, you know, coming for home, he looked like he was going to come and threaten and get involved in the race, but he just wasn't in the right position. Oh, you know, I think he had to be a little bit handier in the race itself. He isn't badly handicapped on a mark of 1.32. And they've got a nice apprentice jockey claiming £7 tomorrow. So again, Lochbar will find this much easier than the Hennessy last time when he finished behind Trio Delane. And of course, the Hennessy form is going to be tested all round tomorrow with the races at Ascot as well. So Lochbar, another one of interest. But I think from the two, I would stick with Triptico for the Evan Williams camp.
Okay, then Triptico the pick there in Haydock's 2.05. The next race that we'll look at is at Ascot. It's the 3 o'clock contest that we're going to look at next. Another competitive race, as you mentioned, the form of the Hennessy you said was going to be tested. It's going to be tested here. It's a handicap chase over 3 miles. Only one place to start, and that is with Nicky Henderson's Triolo Delane. Impressive in the Hennessy, you can't get a much more competitive race than that, but turned out again reasonably quickly, I suppose. Might just be a bit short for this. What do you think, Craig?
Yeah, and you know, I don't think the time off between races will be too much of a problem. The concern for me is he up to winning a handicap of his revised mark of 1.58? He's been put up 11 for winning the Hennessy. You know, trying to evaluate the form, as we said, it's yet to really be tested, the Hennessy form, in terms of visually. What did it look like, run like a good race at the time? I have to say it probably was, and but off a mark of 158, conceding weight all round, and it'll be much softer conditions tomorrow. I would have to pass Trio Delane over, conceding weight to some useful rivals.
Okay then, what would your pick be then here then, Craig, in opposition?
The Venetia Williams horse, Uban Des Oboe, is a horse that beat Trio Delane at Ascot on his penultimate run. If you look strictly at the weights, he's £3 better off with Trio Delane on that Ascot run. And you look at this horse, Alex, and he's an absolute mudlark. Mm. He's got a real rounded knee action. The softer the conditions, the better for him. And he basically galloped his rivals into the ground in that Ascot run. Mary King was back in second. And Bless the Wings, who also reopposes, was back in sixth. I just don't see either of those reversing the Ascot form with Venetia Williams' charge. He's still only a six-year-old. He is on a mark of 1.52. I think he'll go to the front under Aidan Coleman tomorrow. And I can just see him galloping his rivals into the ground.
Okay then, so Uban Des Oboe could be a bit of value there in the 3 o'clock. The final race that we'll look at is the 3.35 from Ascot. It is the Ladbroke Hurdle, a grade 3 contest over 2 miles. Really, really open contest this, Craig. What do you fancy here?
I've actually had two bets in this race earlier in the week.
Okay.
I backed Chatterbox from the Nicky Henderson yard, and I backed Irish Saint from the Paul Nichols yard. I'll start with Chatterbox. Alec, he was a horse that, you know, listed to follow this year. He first went into notebooks, of course, when he beat My Tent or Yours at Newbury in heavy ground. He jumped very well. He travelled very well. And, you know, after that race, Nicky Henderson always talked his prospects of a run at the festival down, saying he's a next year type of horse. He needed time during the summer to strengthen and fill out. But he did run him in the Neptune itself. I think it was a late decision, a late switch. And again, he travelled really, really well in that race before, he found a few too good. And as ever, it was a really good renewal of the Neptune. Mm. Of course, the new one who won it is now favourite for this year's champion hurdle. So I think that was a really strong run. And Chatterbox, you know, Nicky Henderson talked down his chances prior to his run in the Jerry Field, and he'd had all sorts of problems. He couldn't get any headgear on him for his work, but he travelled really well in the race before eventually blowing up and being beaten 4 lengths behind If and But Why Not. And, you know, I thought that run was a decent effort, But if you fancy Chatterbox, there's also form lines for Irish Saint, who had had a few problems leading into that Jerry Fielding as well. And another one that will relish heavy conditions tomorrow, Irish Saint. Very unlucky when just finishing behind Rolling Star on trials day at Cheltenham last year. He'd done all the donkey work that day, jumped well out in front, and Rolling Star just picked him off late on in the day. I think he's a really well-handicapped horse of 142, Irish Saint, and he's vastly overpriced for tomorrow's race. So I'll still stick with the two against the field for the Ladbroke Hurdle. It would be Chatterbox and Irish Saint.
Okay then, Chatterbox and Irish Saint against the field there in the final race at Ascot. Great stuff, Craig. Thank you very much for your time. Best of luck with those selections and enjoy the racing.
Thanks, Alex.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.